The Holy Gospel according to John, the third chapter. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him were not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they've not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and that the people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do the evil hate the light and don't come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated.
Let me know if you can't hear me in the back. Are you okay? All right. Well, you're stuck with me, but I can still bring you God's grace and remind you of the power of his peace. I also want to bring you greetings from our presiding bishop, Elizabeth Eaton, who would remind us that we are a church at its best when we are a church together. Well, friends, spring training is upon us. And that brings to mind the words of a retired player some people know, Ken Singleton. A man once said to Ken, "You want to walk with the Lord?" And Singleton said, "I'd rather walk with the bases loaded." So today I want to share a piece of my own walk with the Lord. It began before I was even born. My mom was one of these mothers that during each of her pregnancies, she prayed that the baby would grow up to serve the Lord. It was my mother who also saw to it that I was baptized. You might say I was doomed from the beginning. She also taught me when I was just a little boy. Trying to remember, maybe I was 4 or 5 years of age. She taught me, "For God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish, but have eternal life." Another went on to teach me that because God so loved us, that everybody in the world only has one job. And that one job is to love other people. Now the question I want to raise with you this morning is, how in the world is it possible that these words, "God so loved the world," how is it possible that they could capture the imagination of a four-year-old? Words that would find their way deep into my bones, even though we were not church people. You see, my father was anything but a churchgoer. He came out of World War II, went to school on the GI Bill, went to a Christian college, and managed to get kicked out. He got kicked out because he protested what he thought was the hypocrisy. But here he could serve in the war, but he couldn't drink, smoke, or dance on campus, even though everyone did it across the street. You can see where I might have got a little rebellion in myself. What I couldn't escape, though, was growing up, is that this calling, these words, this Jesus, was just taking my life over, growing in my heart this notion that I had one job, to love price for what you believe. Because as you might imagine, that came as a great disappointment to my mother and father, let alone to many other community members that I held in such high regard. But this word had caused me to do some deep, deep wrestling. Finally, I decided, again, without having gone to church, I was going to go to seminary. Now, believe me, I had no idea what seminary would be like. I only had one image in my head, and that was monks with their heads shaved, you know, like a bowl round, reading the Bible and saying their prayers in very dim daylight. But when Jesus gets a grip on your life, he doesn't let go. And so this grip, along with my seminary training, was teaching me that if you love God the way God loves you, then it means you stand up for love. You stand up for justice and for mercy and for forgiveness and for welcome. Now I look back over my childhood. I see so many instances where this love of Jesus shaped the choices I was willing to make. Remember when we used to pick teams? Second captain, first choice? Because of this love, I would always pick the kid who was the worst player. Because of this love, I learned to share my lunch with kids that came to school without any. To believe that God so loved the world, it means that we change our behaviors. It means that we are against people that are mean, that we're against hate and unfairness. We have to be willing to let go of grudges, and we have to be willing to include others. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm painting a picture that I was a little saint growing up. It couldn't be further from the truth. I grew up in a day when they didn't spare the paddle. I received it on more than one occasion. By the time I was in junior high, I was quite a scallywag. In fact, I remember some of my behavior was just so unacceptable. I got into a grudge match with one of my classmates, Janet Smith. We raised up armies to go against one another. And I tell you, I did everything I could to be mean to Janet and to hurt her. I feel badly about it to this day, but it was then that I learned about God's grace. You see, only when you face the shadow side of your life do you come to realize what a loving God we have. That side of our life that we do not want exposed to the light. That side of our life that is utterly selfish. That side that's mean and uncaring and not fair and refuses to give and loves to blame and to shame. Do you all know that side of your life? You know, sometimes I wonder if church people know that side of life. Because it is very, very real for every one of us. And knowing our shadow is what makes grace, grace. Such a wonderful gift of God. It makes it possible for us to live within our own skin, and it makes it possible for us to embrace all of who we are, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And once we discover grace, it then frees us up to love our neighbors, even the obnoxious. Even the neighbor that makes poor choices and inflicts pain upon themselves and creates injustice in the community. You see, we believe in a God who wants us to be part of creating a world that looks very different than the world we often find ourselves in. This is what it means that whoever so believes, it means that believers act differently You act differently whether you're in the classroom, whether you're in the lunchroom, or out to recess. This love of Jesus, it's a radical love. You know, I'm in a different congregation every Sunday, and I watch all of our Lutheran people recite the liturgy. Take it home and read it sometime. You've got to be a radical to be a Lutheran. I mean, because the words that we recite. What about this Jesus? How radical is he that he would teach us that we should love our enemies? Are you kidding me? Who does that? Was he out of his mind? No. Loving your enemies is a great insight into the mind and heart of Jesus. You see, John 3:16 has become so romanticized. Treated as if, oh, if you just believe in Jesus, everything will be just fine, and you'll be going to heaven. Well, the truth of the matter is, John 3:16 is a verse that ought to just drive us to see that God is turning the world upside down. That's what we find Jesus constantly doing. He insists that the rich will be poor. The poor will be rich. The weeping will rejoice. The hungry will be fed. The naked will be clothed. What does he say about the powerful? They'll fall from their thrones. The sick, they'll be made well. The blind will see. The deaf will hear. And it goes on and on and on. Everything that we expect to be one way, Jesus turns upside down. Ray Pickett is the new president, rector of our seminary, Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary. And he makes this point. He says that Jesus spent very little time taking on people in authority. He said he spent most of his time offering an alternative narrative, telling stories of the world that God delights in. A world where everyone understands that they have one job, to love the people that we love. So listen to these words from our lesson this day. For we are what God has made us, created in Christ Jesus. What for? Created for good works, which God prepared before him to be our way of life. Now you live like that, and that's what I call walking when the bases are loaded. You score big time.